Morning, church family.
Good 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 morning, church family.
Hello, church family.
Hello, church family.
Hello, church family.
Hello, church family.
Good morning, church family. Well, it's great to see people welcome us from Chris and Nikki Waugh's growth group and a few folks from across the world as well, all part of the Hamlin Road Baptist church family. And can I welcome you this morning to our broadcast? It's really good to have you tuning in. Whether you're a regular at Hamlin Road Baptist or whether you're just watching in, we're so glad that you have decided to give us your time this morning. And we really do hope that you enjoy it, that you are blessed by it, and that you're also challenged by it in what you hear. For those of you who are watching for the first time, our time together is going to consist of some songs, a reading, a prayer, some Bible teaching, and we'd love you to join in the songs as well. Between the first two songs this week, Ross Thompson's going to read one of his poems, which is particularly poignant to Palm Sunday in this the year of social isolation and self-distancing. On this Palm Sunday, the crowds welcomed Jesus as King, but they didn't really know what they were doing or who Jesus was. And our hope and prayer is that this morning you will know who Jesus is and that you will indeed crown him as your King. Let's pray. Father, as we spend time together singing, reading, praying and hearing from you, Father, would you give us hearts and ears that are willing to hear what you're saying, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're all doing okay today. It's really lovely to be able to serve the church in this way again, as we sing some songs together. And I hope you will join in with us. I'm not sure how many of you are really, truly doing that in your houses, but it's still good and encouraging to know that some are. This is the day in Palm Sunday when we traditionally remember the people who went out into the streets to acknowledge the kingship of Jesus by throwing their branches down and honouring him as he came into the city of Jerusalem. And sadly, of course, we can't go out into the streets today and do anything like that, nor can we even meet in our normal building. But we are still meeting at the same time as we do this together, as we put this broadcast together even now. We're thinking about the fact that Jesus hasn't changed even though our circumstances has, and that he is still the King who is worth honouring in the same way. So let's bring our hearts in full today to him as we worship together. And just to help us do that, I'm going to read one verse from 1 Timothy, which says this: "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let's sing together, crown him with many crowns.
The Lamb upon his throne, hark how
persuade. From pole to pole that war may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet.
Palm Sunday. Through the window, the streets run silent, slow, and vacant, devoid of the piercing glow of tail lights or the rhythm of neighbours scurrying to work. Traffic lights now stand sentry to a carriageway lying empty. Like a defective clock, our world just stopped, its pulsing noise turned down. Like Christmas, but without the joy. Though nobody's fault, the daily grind has ground to a halt. But picture this, once many years ago, through a different narrow window without sill or glass, we might have spied a joyful crowd bustling past, shedding cloaks and collecting branches to lay upon the dusty ground. The holy city, thrumming with the sound of singing, laughter, and loud hosannas with which to greet the new king who demeaned himself a beast of burden as his steed, forgoing human vanity and greed. With outstretched hands revealing the same palms that would soon give way to ridge nails, the weight of unearned hate and shame, he greeted those who would later misuse his name in vain. This Messiah, this God-man, succeeded to the earth's demand, the desperate need to be saved from snares of trouble and fear. And now today he waits to enter here in our stillness to bring a simple truth to every person under every roof, that kindness, compassion and hope can win against sin. We can start anew.
You've done for me.
you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace.
Hello, Lighthouse kids. It's so lovely to have you with us this morning on Palm Sunday. And today we're going to learn about the story of Palm Sunday and what happened through Lego. So Isaac and Rachel have been working really hard to try and put together the story of Palm Sunday. So we're going to try and tell it to you this morning. At that time, Jesus and his disciples were at the Mount of Olives, and he sent two of his disciples to a town further ahead. And he told them something quite strange. He said to them, I want you to go there and I want you to find a donkey and its colt, which is basically a young donkey. And he said to them, if anybody says anything to you, just tell them that the Lord needs them. That was actually really important because it was fulfilling a prophecy or a promise earlier in the Bible, and that's found in Zechariah 9:9. So the disciples went ahead and they did this. The colt and the donkey were there. And they said that the Lord needed them, and they were able to bring the donkey and the colt back to Jesus. And when they did, they put their coats on the colt, and Jesus got on this and started to proceed towards Jerusalem, which was really strange because if we think of a famous person, if a famous person was coming to Bangor, they certainly wouldn't come on the back of a donkey. They'd probably be coming in a fancy car or lots of cars coming. So it was really quite strange that Jesus would come in this way. But at that time in the Bible, a donkey signified peace. Many people had heard at this time of all the wonderful things that Jesus had been doing. He had been healing the sick. He had been doing many signs and wonders. So many had heard this. So the excitement was growing that Jesus was going to be passing through this way. So many people had started to come, and they cut down palm branches and palm leaves. And they started to put those out in front of Jesus as he proceeded to move towards Jerusalem. And this is a little bit like if you go to a football match or a rugby match, you might have a scarf or a team flag that you might wave. As Jesus then started to move through the crowd started to say things. And Isaac and Rachel, you have them, don't you? You have what the crowd were saying. So Isaac, what was one of the things that the crowds were shouting out towards Jesus?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Brilliant. So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Rachel, you have one?
Hosanna in the highest heaven.
Hosanna in the highest heaven. Brilliant. The Pharisees, who we've heard about in the Bible before, they didn't like Jesus, and they were very upset by the things that he did. And they were upset at this point because they thought that he should be stopping his disciples and the crowd from saying these things that Isaac and Rachel have said this. But Jesus said to them, and it might sound quite strange now, but Jesus said to them, if the crowd keep quiet, even the rocks will cry out. Okay, so that's what he said back to the Pharisees. And Jesus was really sad when he saw the Pharisees and he saw their heart. And he was sad as he approached Jerusalem because he felt sad that Jerusalem and many people who lived in Jerusalem didn't know the importance of who he was and what he was coming to do. So it actually says in the Bible that Jesus wept. He was so sad and upset that he wept. As he came into Jerusalem, people were turning around and crowds were gathering and they were saying, who is this? who is this man coming in on the donkey? And the people in the crowd and his followers were saying that this is Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. It's really significant that Jesus came on a donkey on Palm Sunday, because it was fulfilling the prophecy that was said hundreds of years ago in the Bible that our Savior would come in on a donkey. It's such an important time for us as we look towards Easter and we think about what Jesus did just a few days after Palm Sunday, where he went to the cross for each and every one of us as we're in our houses. And it's a really uncertain time for us, and it can be a wee bit worrying, and we're not at school and things aren't normal. So we would like you this week to maybe have a go, like what Isaac and what Rachel have done, of making some of the stories from the Bible, maybe from Lego or Playmobil or Play-Doh, whatever you have at home, and send those in to us. We'd love to see the things you're making, and remind yourselves of the wonderful stories and promises that are in the Bible. And we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we'll exhaust the glory of this passage when the Amazon River flows backwards, the sun turns into a snow cone, and the yellowfin tuna yodel. Who is it that fulfills Zechariah's magnificent vision? It is you, King Jesus, and we welcome you and rejoice in you this Palm Sunday. No other king could vanquish war horses and warriors riding the foal of a donkey. No other king could break the battle bow and the backbone of warfare by the brokenness of the cross. No other king could replace the dominion of darkness and the tyranny of evil with an eternal reign of grace and peace. No other king would give his life and death for the redemption of rebels and idolaters like us. No other king can possibly make slaves of sin into prisoners of hope. Lord Jesus, you're that King, the King of glory, the monarch of mercy, the governor of grace, the prince of peace, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Great is our rejoicing because grace is our salvation. You have come to us and for us, righteous and victorious, loving and sovereign. By the riches of your grace, continue to free us from waterless pits, broken cisterns and worthless idols. By the power of the gospel, enable us to live as prisoners of hope and agents of redemption until the day you return to finish making all things new. So very amen, we pray, in your holy and matchless name.
Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'"
Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road.
When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls, they will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.
Gospel according to Luke, Jesus has been setting his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. We know the purpose of his mission and his ministry here on earth was one very simple thing. And he's already shared that with us for those of you that have been tuning in over these last weeks. In Luke chapter 19 verse 10 it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." But the only way he could save them was that on Good Friday he would end up as the Lamb of God, hanging suspended between earth and heaven on the cross. And so here is Jesus. He's on the final lap of his ministry. You could say the final days of his ministry. And in this week of Passion, we'll meet him in the final hours of his ministry. And on this Palm Sunday, as Jesus rides a colt into the city, in many ways, he asks the crowds and the disciples and the religious leaders a question. Who will worship me as king? Who will worship me as king? And while that question, you could say, was inferred from his ministry then, it's definitely given to us now. Will we worship Jesus as king this Palm Sunday? Will we give him a hearing? Will we respond to his message of love and mercy and grace? Consider three reactions to Jesus on Palm Sunday. The first reaction is the disciples, and they offer genuine worship. In Luke 19:28, and when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that it is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here." Jesus was not simply a man. Jesus was fully man and fully God. He reveals his deity here when he knows that there is a particular cult tied in a certain location. He knows exactly where to send the disciples to find this cult. He knows that the owners of the cult will allow the disciples to take this cult and bring it back so that he can ride it into Jerusalem as the King of Kings. Jesus is no mere man. He's also God. He anticipates then being asked questions. Verse 31, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. Can you imagine the discussion between the disciples? Look where Jesus is sending us. Are we going to be accused of theft? But they believed in Jesus. They knew that Jesus knew all things. And they offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. They offer genuine worship to Jesus. And as, verse 33, they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And the disciples answered, the Lord has need of it. On this Palm Sunday, we meet the disciples, the followers, the pupils, the learners of Jesus, offering genuine worship. But what about you? Will you give Jesus a hearing on this Palm Sunday? Because we meet the second group who have to respond to Jesus. And the second group is the crowds. And I believe they offered shallow worship. We meet the crowds who offered shallow worship. We see that in verses 35 to 38. And they brought the colt to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. It's interesting, Jesus walked his way to Jerusalem, particularly from northern Israel. But now in this last mile or two, he gets on top of a colt, fulfilling the scriptures in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it encourages Israel to rejoice that their king has come humble and riding on a donkey. Here is Jesus coming humbly into Jerusalem. And the crowds, they throw their cloaks and they throw palm branches. And verse 36, as he rode along the road, they spread their cloaks. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. What were these mighty works? Well, Luke 7 tells us that through the ministry of Jesus, the deaf hear, the blind had received sight. Jesus had been able to raise people from the dead. He had been able to cast out demons, and he preached that he would be able to save people from eternal death. The mighty works, many of them had seen it. But for many of them, it was shallow worship. They love to be entertained by Jesus. They love the miracles. They maybe even love some of the things he said in his manifesto. But they wouldn't worship Jesus exclusively in their heart. They wouldn't allow him to become king, to be ruler, to be sovereign, to be supreme. And you have a choice this Palm Sunday, whether you offer Jesus genuine worship. You too might be impressed at his teaching. You may be impressed at the mighty works that he's done. But you yourself personally, like everybody in the crowd that day, have to receive the mighty work of Jesus, which he accomplished on the cross, for ourselves personally. The crowd, they're caught up in the hysteria. This is the biggest show in town on this Sunday in and around Jerusalem. But for many in the crowd, it's shallow, shallow worship. Some shout out in the crowd, verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some did believe it, particularly the disciples, particularly the intimate followers of Jesus. They did believe it. They had taken the truth about Jesus and applied that mighty work to their own heart. But many in the crowd, it was shallow. Who will worship the King on this Palm Sunday? Will the disciples have offered genuine worship? The crowds, shallow worship?
God of heaven living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and
sadly, there was a third group, the religious leaders, and they offered false worship. They refused to worship. In verse 39, this is the third point, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the scribes and the Sadducees, they hated Jesus. Because in their position, they had the power, they had the control, they had the money, they had the comfort. And then this Jesus comes riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, saying that he is going to set the prisoners free, that he is going to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and that he is going to open up a new and a living way, not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile, meaning you and me sitting here wherever we find ourselves today. They hated Jesus for this. You'll note that they even called him teacher, that they didn't believe he was Jesus. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. And so they refused to worship. They refused to worship. And so Jesus responds to them. He answered, he says, "I tell you, if my disciples are silent, the very stones, that which is lifeless, will come to life. And they will cry out." And when he drew near the city of Jerusalem, Jesus wept over it. Now, why did Jesus weep over Jerusalem? Because he knew that many men and women and boys and girls who were in this city, the city that is crowning him king in some form of a coronation on this Sunday, he knows that in just a matter of days' time, he will be rejected, he will be scorned, he will be abused, and he will be hanging on a cross. He weeps over this city because he knows that they will reject him. He knows that they are lost. He knows that they need his love. They're the very people that he has come for, and yet they will reject him. It's my prayer for you on this Palm Sunday that you will not reject the love of Jesus. So the question comes to us on this Palm Sunday, How will you respond to Jesus? Will you crown him as King of Kings? Or will you join the crowds on Friday, on Good Friday, where instead of crowning him as King of Kings, they cry out, crucify him, crucify him, the only innocent man who has ever lived. Do you know, I want to encourage your hearts if you're a Christian today. And if you're not a Christian today, I want to challenge you with what I'm going to say in conclusion on this Palm Sunday morning. Is that Jesus is going to return to earth again. And he is going to return to the Mount of Olives again. But this time he won't be coming humbly and riding on a donkey. Listen to how John, the Apostle John, tells us about how Jesus is going to come in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. He says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. And the name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day, the Bible says, every eye will see him. And every tongue in heaven and on earth and under the earth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Could I encourage you this Palm Sunday, as we see him coming into Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace, will you give him genuine worship? Give him your heart. Give him your life. Give him your all. I'm going to hand back to the team who are going to close this Sunday morning service in song.
Let's reflect on everything we've been hearing this morning as we sing this wonderful song together. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, forevermore.
curse of sin and centuries, did pierce the lonely Prince of Peace. Lifted high the sinless man, crucified the spotless lamb, buried by the sons of man, rescued by the Father's hand.
Time together this morning, and thank you for your participation and your encouraging comments throughout. Can I encourage you to tune in each weeknight evening at 8:45, where we're going to be having an Easter meditation where we'll be following Jesus to the cross through the streets of Jerusalem. So I encourage you to do that on Facebook and YouTube, and then on Friday, our Good Friday service in conjunction with Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church at 7:45. Let's pray. Father, we pray that Christ would have preeminence in our lives, that we would bow before him as King this week, as Lord of all. And Father, would you give us the grace to live for you this week? Father, would you help us to have eyes and minds that are heavenward as we journey ourselves and to Friday, and then to the glorious hope of Sunday, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And would you thank you that the King is coming back again. Father, would you help us to be really waiting and yearning for his return, in Jesus' name. Amen.